Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we've got the last two Oscar nominated films for Best Picture, The Father and Sound of Metal.
Yes. So which one do we want to start with? I think I watched Sound of Metal first. I'm not sure which one you watched first.
I watched The Father first, but it does not matter. I watched both of these movies within the last, like, 48 hours, so they're very fresh in my brain. Which one's, like, the farthest back for you that you want to talk about first?
I watched both of these over the weekend. I think Sound of Metal I watched on Saturday, so we can just... Why don't we just talk about this one?
Okay. So Riz Ahmed is the main character of... Who's this man who's a metal drummer, and he loses his hearing pretty much entirely, so he cannot be a drummer anymore, can't be in his band, his touring band anymore, and is kind of forced to reckon with that.
He's in a relationship with one of his bandmates, Lou. Who's the singer of the band, and this really gets to Ruben. Like, it's a really scary change that he does not want to deal with sometimes. I really liked, I don't really know where to start. The music was very interesting. It just kind of sounded like she... I could not tell if there were any words mm-hmm. in the songs that she was singing. It just sounded like a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. And then he would just kind of follow along to her singing with his drumming. And it just kind of seemed like they had their routine. You know, they would stay up all night at like their doing their show. And then, you know, he'd make these really gross looking smoothies in the morning, you know, full of greens that are good for you, but might not taste very good. And they're just kind of doing the band grind. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. just trying to get out there and trying to make a name for themselves. They're kind of like living in an RV.
Yeah. Like
type of thing.
Like a
camper.
Metal, old time, kind of like retrofitted looking RV. That can drive around, and it's really like it's got all of their stuff in it, so it's just them two. So you can tell like traveling is they're basically using all their money to go on tour. They get money and then they just continue to go on tour with that money that they got, which is like a lot of people on tour. It's very common thing that happens with the touring peoples. They basically just use up all their money on tour.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Because it's so expensive to travel around and stuff.
Right? And just to live. And we kind of get a sense that the character Lou used to harm herself. She used to cut her wrists and then we kind mm-hmm. of learn that Ruben was an addict. So it seemed like they were kind of helping each other, kind of stay sober and, you know, not harm themselves. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like they were a really big part of each other's lives. And we kind of just uncover stuff along the way, which is always nice because, you know, we kind of start the movie not really knowing anything. And he starts to lose his hearing, like, very quickly. It's like he starts to hear ringing. Mm-hmm. And then one day he just kind of, everything just sounds muffled to him, at least... So the way that the movie was kind of, the sound was edited was like, you know, if we would kind of not hear stuff that Ruben couldn't hear a lot of the times.
Yeah, it was and, really until, from until his he kind perspective, of went, you know, a lot yeah. of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And until he went like fully deaf, mm-hmm. then we could kind of start hearing from other people who could, like the camp manager, he could still talk and he would.
Yeah.
And we could like hear him, but yeah, it was very not desensitizing, but the movie was very silent because I feel like it just kind of took in the sounds around it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then didn't if Ruben, like when Ruben lost his hearing, we couldn't hear anything for like a moment. So that was really interesting. And then when he finally gets to the camp, or like to the community, which I don't even know where they are. I'm not really sure like kind of where this takes place. It obviously takes place like somewhere in America, right? Or are they at first?
I'm not really sure exactly where it is, but I'm thinking it's maybe like well, they filmed it in Massachusetts, so I know that. They I don't know if they actually really said it in the movie where they were going, because they were in Missouri for their tour, and then they had to drive a couple days to get to this place. So
To get to the community. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember her saying that.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure exactly, but somewhere around Missouri, that's within 2 days' drive. Could be anywhere. But it did seem, you know, they filmed it in Massachusetts, so it looked like Massachusetts. But you know, that could be like a lot of places.
That's true. That's
But
true.
it was a quite an idyllic atmosphere. And we got a lot of like noises of the world around this place, even though a lot of the people that live there can't hear. Like, you know, the leaves and the trees making noises and the birds, and you know, it was like a really pretty place to be. Yeah, like I thought the sound design you were talking about was excellent, basically just like really putting us into what it would be like to lose your hearing and what it would sound like, and allowing the audience to experience this, for, you know, to put us in the shoes of Ruben. And Riz Ahmed like completely did that. Like he was a sympathetic guy, but you also watched him kind of like struggle, and you're constantly like thinking, okay, like is he gonna be able to turn this around? I want him to turn this around. And just watching this devastation that he has to deal with now in his life, and his girlfriend as well in Lou's life, and just kind of understanding that they're in a position that they didn't expect to be, and they have to deal with it now, and it's crazy.
Yeah, going back to Riz Ahmed's performance, I had no issues like really getting sucked into this movie and just like feeling like I was there and feeling like I was watching Ruben like go through this whole journey that he's on. And yeah, and especially like I was heartbroken when he like got his procedure and then gets like first turned on, and it sounds like very staticky and like roboticy, like a robotic, and like, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, is that like what it actually sounds like to have that?
Yeah, I mean like
And it
maybe
just is crazy.
it sounds different to other people, but
Right.
you know, it's not gonna sound like it used to. Like there's never gonna be anything like what the ears used to be like.
Yeah,
And
and I couldn't help but feel disappointed, like along with the camp, with the community manager, like, thinking that Ruben was, on the mend. He was, keeping busy, even though the manager didn't want him to keep busy. But, he was learning sign language, he was learning how to communicate, he was like seemingly doing very well. And then, because he had access to, the outside world, emailing emailing Lou and looking at the band website, like he just goes and does the procedure, which we all didn't really want him to end up doing. We wanted him to just kind of learn how to live with this new part of him and love himself for that. But like I couldn't help but feel disappointed when he went through with it, and then hearing how it sounded, I was like, no, why did you do this?
Yeah, like this was you know, it's definitely, and for that he would have to have total hearing loss as well. They had to like remove the eardrum or whatever, for that implant, so he would like lose like totally. Like before, he was kind of hearing things like thumps and stuff, and now it's like he can't even hear
Yeah.
that because he doesn't have it. It's, you know, but like this is his one. This is his journey. This is Ruben's journey, and I think because he was an addict, it informs his choices, and that's how we see him. You know, he's somebody who is in a fragile state in and. Will always be as an addict, as a you know, so
Yeah. He
it's
needs a
definitely,
routine, and when this routine gets broken, it kind of all falls to shambles.
and like he tries to fix that, and he tries to find joy in his life, but then it kind of, you know, it doesn't work out in that way with this community, because he feels like he is still missing the hearing side of his life and the joys that that brings to him. He thinks it brings to him. And if, you know, and the whole the, with Paul Raichi, the guy who plays Joe, the camp, the like the counselor man,
Yes.
you know,
Yeah.
he was like, honestly, I thought his performance was so deeply moving and so like.
Yes.
Touching, like I can't believe like he didn't get nominated for Best Supporting Actor because like it was so good. Like it made me feel like he really cared about Ruben and he really,
Yes.
really, really wanted to be there for him and he really wanted him to make the right choices and like was so patient and so like wonderful and in all the right ways. It was just such a wonderful performance.
Totally, yeah, he was so good. And I loved all of the scenes at the community, like, Ruben just communicating with everyone and making friends. And especially with the kids in the sign language class that he was in with the kid who couldn't concentrate in class, so he would, take him out to the playground. And that really cute slide scene where they're just like pounding on the metal slide was like super cute.
And he can like he put his ear to the slide so he could like feel the slide as Ruben was like hitting the slide and
Drumming.
yeah drumming. It was very sweet. Like I loved all the stuff with the kids and the teacher and just like Ruben learning sign language and everything and how and showing the fullness of this community, at least the small part that they showed us of the deaf community, just like you know what it may be like to be a deaf child and like what games you play. And how, you know, how you're exposed to music as a deaf child, like, you know, what is it like? What, you know, and it, I really enjoyed that because I could not think of, like, I'm not somebody who sees deaf culture very often, and so seeing it in this movie made me really happy.
Yeah, no, I was really like, and again with like the realistic like way that this movie was shot, it almost felt like a documentary. Like just like it just felt so real. And yeah, I really enjoyed taking a peek into this community and how they live their daily lives as well. It was very eye-opening and I really enjoyed it.
I was trying to find to see what the deaf community thought of this movie. There
Okay.
were quite a few articles that I came across that obviously were like, there's no controversy, or there is controversy. So I think what it is that some people in the deaf community feel like this was a very accurate representation of something that they possibly went through. That it obviously is about one person and one person's journey and how they come to terms with being deaf. And everybody has a different story, right? So a lot of the people who were criticizing it were like, oh, you know, the whole idea that you can't get a cochlear implant because that excludes you from the deaf community. You're really not deaf if you have this implant.
Okay.
That's like people have been saying, okay, you've been saying that about us for a long time. We've turned our tables. We're not like this anymore, or we're working on it, basically. You know, saying like in the deaf community that obviously, there's people who are woke in the deaf community who don't want to be so mean and, you know, exclude people, right? So
Yeah.
that's it. That's one of the issues with it. And then it was just like not casting Somebody who is deaf or hard of hearing in the lead role. Like they
Okay.
cast this for the rest of the movie. The whole movie basically is just other deaf actors. And people were saying, okay, well, they're just crutches for the main character. But like, okay, like, he's this movie is about him. So what character is not a crutch for the main character? I mean, that's kind of like what it is. But, but yeah, like if they would have cast somebody who's deaf or hard of hearing, maybe that would have been better. I mean, I think it might have been more authentic to whoever was going through that exact thing. But yeah, like, but it's we have to definitely introduce more deaf or hard or hearing actors into all sorts of media.
Into the entertainment industry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got that. But I definitely enjoyed all of the I read some other reviews of people who are deaf or hard of hearing and they love this movie. And they were like, this is great. Like it's a really nice story about this guy and I thought it was really moving. Like I really liked it a lot. Definitely.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it and I and that makes sense, having all the different reviews, 'cause again, people's situations and journeys are all very different, and maybe this didn't represent them properly, and they felt left out, or they felt like their situation wasn't heard.
Definitely.
Which kind of makes me think of, you just told me before we started recording this that you had watched Crip Camp, and that makes me think of that documentary a lot, because there are so many different people with so many different situations brought up, and even one lady who like became paraplegic because of an accident, and it's just everyone's situation is different. Everyone's life story is very different, that I can see it being very difficult to cover every single situation.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like, those are very valid criticisms. Like, saying we need more diversity in a movie is definitely something that is good to hear because then we can like have more diversity in our movies. We can like push for more diversity. Like I'm really excited that this movie had all sorts of kinds of people in it too. Like I love Riz Ahmed. He's fantastic. He's nominated for Best Actor. Like that's awesome. Like I fucking love this dude and he deserves it for this movie. It's like this is a
He's really
really
rising up. He's really getting out there, and he's a really great actor. Yeah, I'm really happy that he got nominated, and just like the other characters that we get in this movie, like I believe Diane, the one that he drew a tattoo for, and then she ended up getting it on her back, and it was like super
That was
cute. And
Jen. That was Jen. Diane was the
Jen.
teacher. Yeah.
Diane was a teacher. You're right. You're right. Okay, that's right, Jen.
Yeah,
But
that
yeah,
was
I really
cute.
liked yeah, I liked all those different relationships that we got to see. 'Cause again,
Yeah.
it seemed like Ruben was doing really well,
I know. I know.
and then he just didn't.
Well, you knew that was going to happen, though. I mean, no movie has a time where things don't go to shit. Like, every
I
single movie,
know.
it's like, two-thirds of the way through the movie, or a little bit more than that, like, three-fourths of the way through the movie, the main character makes a crucial mistake that they either can come back from or they can't come back from. And, this is the one where he made a mistake and now he has to live his life differently, and it's about what he wants to do now. And I thought the end was kind of cathartic because he didn't really know what he was going to choose, but he was like kind of allowed to see the beauty in the world, without the cochlear implant too, which was nice.
Which I can see with the implant, I can see it being good if you need it, but I mean, definitely it in crowded places, it sounds like you shouldn't you like you wouldn't want to use it, 'cause there's no way to focus your hearing on one particular conversation or one particular person in like a crowd of people. You're just hearing everything at
Yeah, it's not
once.
like you have
Like,
a microphone like up to that person, just one person at a time.
yeah. Yeah, if we want to just kind of touch on like the latter half of this movie. So after he gets the implant, you know, he comes back to the community and, you know, he says, I need a place to stay for a couple weeks because he basically has no money.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you didn't follow the process here, and I can't have you. I basically can't have you here, like muddying, like or affecting how other people have dealt with their own hearing loss,
Yeah. Yeah.
and you're like a bad influence basically, or like a like you're it's not it's a risk. It's a risk to keep him there, like kind of like messing up the balance that he had there at the community, and so he ends up going to France, right? That's where she goes to see it. So then we kind of learn that like she hasn't really like Lou hasn't really talked to her dad, ever, I guess, because she when her parents separated, her mom took her and she just like never saw her dad, I guess. And we kind of see, I'm not sure how much time has passed, but they both look so different. Like Ruben had like shaved his head and he doesn't have the blonde in his hair anymore or the platinum. And Lou had like gotten a haircut and, you know, she looks super different. And I kind of had a feeling that these two wouldn't be together by the end, just because of how, I don't know, like even though they seemed dependent on each other, Ruben seemed way more dependent on Lou than Lou was dependent on Ruben.
Yeah, she was like getting really scratchy, like really stressed when she would think
Yes, she
about.
would scratch her arms, her wrists, and the second they meet back up, and you know they're just like, oh, it's been so long, you know, I'm glad to see you. And
And
then
she's
she starts
doing really
scratching
well.
again. Yeah, she's doing well and he's not necessarily doing well, and he kind of makes that sacrifice to leave her at the end, just because he probably saw her doing so well, and yeah, he seems to come to terms with his hearing loss by the end. So we're hoping that it kind of ends on a happy note. Not sure, not quite sure.
I mean, it definitely makes it seem like these two had each other when they needed each other most, and
Yeah.
they have
Kind of like
to,
outgrew each other.
like separate now. And it's so sad. And I love the performance from Olivia Cooke too, because
Yes.
that girl just she her face is very expressive. So she is a very emotional actress. You see everything she's thinking right on her face. And that's what makes her such a great actress. She's just so you really get into her head about what she's feeling, and she when she's feeling insecure, when she's feeling uncomfortable, when she's feeling even when she's feeling happy. But it's just like you really see it. She's so great, and I thought that these two had excellent chemistry as well.
Such great chemistry.
So it
Did
just
she get
really
nominated at
worked.
all?
No, I don't
For
think
like,
so.
no? Okay.
She might
She
get
was really
nominated for
good though.
something else. I don't know. I mean, this there's so many things that it was nominated for throughout. But if, yeah, for the BAFTAs, Paul Racy got Best Supporting Actor nomination, so good job.
Oh, that's so great.
I know. I love it.
Yeah, he was so good.
I was gonna say about Paul Racy, I read in an article that he is of a hearing actor, but he has deaf parents, so he knows sign language from, growing up.
Yes, I was looking at the trivia. It says he's a prominent figure in the deaf community, as a CODA, child of deaf parents.
Yeah, there's another movie by Marlee Matlin that is coming out or came out called CODA this past year, and I definitely want to watch it because I really like Marlee Matlin.
Okay, yeah, cool. That sounds good. And then just some other trivia. I see that Riz wore auditory blockers.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Like
probably
earplugs.
to,
A fancy word for earplugs.
very, yes, very, but like he's a deep inside his ear,
Oh, yeah.
like,
Oh, God. Oh.
and apparently he told USA Today that he couldn't hear anything, including the sound of my own voice,
Oh, wow.
So that, and
That
that.
guy is intense, dude. Like, oh, that guy's the most intense actor I can think of at the moment. Like, seriously. He's like
Oh, I like this
110%.
one. Riz said he hoped the film would encourage more hearing people to learn ASL, which this made me want to learn sign language. It really did.
I mean, I love sign language. I actually was doing it in the movie when he was learning with the kids.
So was
Oh my God, you were. I literally
I.
was standing here doing the motions and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I'm like mimicking them.
Yeah, I was like trying to watch like what things meant and you know what motions were for what word and I was like just trying to, I was taking it all in, and then yeah, I think there was a part where he was like spelling his name or something or there was something happening and yeah, I was following along with.
And when they would clap, I would do the clapping, the jazz hands.
Yeah, I did that too. I did
So
that too.
rewarding. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
All right.
I love that paired with Crip Camp since I just watched that today. It was honestly like in some ways their disabilities would make it so that they were more like applied for certain situations, like in Crip Camp when they were stuck up, they were doing their like sit-in at in the government building, and they could look out the window and sign to each other in order to get
Yeah.
information across. And I was like, "That's your superpower, man! Like, I love that."
Definitely, yeah. I loved that documentary like a lot. It was so good. I've actually been enjoying all of the documentaries that were nominated this year. I should really watch more documentaries. I don't know why.
Dude, yeah.
I don't know why I just don't think to watch them, but these have been so good. I've watched three of them so far, and they're so good.
I think a lot of them, we watch on Netflix or something, and they're just like murder mystery ones or something, and they're just like really dramatic, and they don't always have that kind of element of being like something that could be nominated for an Oscar, so
Yeah, that's the thing. They can be about so many different subjects. I just don't think I'm sure like what subject I want to watch. There's so many documentaries out there. I like don't know which one is the one I want to watch. Like just that's why I just wait for award season and then they'll tell me which ones are good to watch.
I feel
And then
like
I end up learning some great stuff and I'm like really happy that I watched them.
Oh my God, I just had a really good idea. We could totally do a documentary wheel where we just put up like some, we look and see what some really good documentaries are and then just put them on our
Okay.
wheel, and then that will be like a totally different part of our roulette wheel of documentaries. We'll think of
Yeah, a
more.
documentary roulette series. I like it. We should talk about more documentaries. I'm totally down to watch them.
Cool. Okay. Well,
Yeah.
this movie got nominated for six Oscars. Film editing, original screenplay, sound, performance by an actor in a supporting role, performance by an actor in a
Oh,
leading role.
he
Oh,
did.
he did. Oh my God, what the fuck is wrong
Oh, thank
with me?
goodness.
Oh my God, I'm so
I was like, better add
excited.
this to the snub list.
I don't know what I was saying. I'm so sorry, everybody. So supporting role for Paul Racy, and then best performance in actor by a leading role, Riz Ahmed, best performance or best motion picture of the year. So, that's a very good batch of things. I hope it wins
Yeah.
something.
I hope yeah, I hope it definitely wins some of these. That'd be really great. Be really great. Really rooting for this one. We can look at the plot keywords now. So the plot keywords we have for Sound of Metal are deaf man, rock band, rock performance, band performance, heavy metal band.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
No, there was not much in there. It was mostly just there wasn't even okay, all
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, I get that. That's the movie. There you go.
So it's got an
Let's see.
82 Metascore, and all of the ones just here on the IMDb are in the green above a 75, but none higher than a 91. So everybody just agreed it was a good movie.
Yeah, let's see. I feel like it doesn't give a good range sometimes, so I'm just gonna go to the
Yeah, the
I'm gonna go
Metacritic.
to Metacritic, yeah, and just take a quick look in case someone gave it. Okay. This movie.
Fuck is Phil Marks, okay?
Okay, so it got 30 positive reviews and one mixed review. So we definitely got to read that mixed review in here. But yeah, the highest I'm seeing, you're right, is nothing higher than a 91. All right, let's look at this. Variety, Owen Gleiberman gave it a 50.
Which
Okay, here
is
we
still
go.
not like super low, you know? Like,
It's
'cause
not
it's,
super low,
yeah,
but
it's
I'm
actually like
interested to
okay.
see I'm
What do you
interested
have
to
to
see what he
say?
says. Sound of Metal is 2 hours and 10 minutes long, and it moves at a snail's pace, not because nothing happens, but because Martyr hasn't filled in the dramatic interior of what does happen. He has made movies about deafness that's at once experiential and too muffled to hear.
I don't know. I thought the pace was fine. I didn't.
I thought it was fine.
I enjoyed a lot about it. I didn't think that the pace was too
I was
long.
very enthralled the whole time. I mean, yes, I will agree that sure, maybe it moved a little slow, but I felt like, as things were progressing, it and I enjoyed it the entire way. Like I never checked the time. And
Yeah.
that's good. Yeah, I do not agree, Owen. Do not agree.
Yeah. It did get a 100 on here for on Original Sin on the Metacritic website. I'll just read
Oh,
it.
did
On the surface, it's a solid and observing character study, but thanks to Martyr's script and masterful direction and Ahmed's beautiful performance, there are increasingly deeper layers that take this movie to a deeper place.
Nice. I totally skipped over that one.
Yeah, I
Very
like that
nice.
one a
Let's
lot.
see.
I thought that because the layers of the depth of these characters really shone with this movie. I mean, there's a lot of movies where you see characters not having any depth, and this one was, I mean, it was great. Like, even the girlfriend had so many layers to her, and it was just like watching them portray these people who could be completely real people. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, completely, completely excellent, amazing, beautiful, all the above,
All the above.
all of the above. Was there another review you liked, or should we move on to The Father?
Let's move on. Okay.
All right.
The Father. I watched this last night. And it was quite emotional, quite uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it was like it was a little uncomfortable, a little confusing. It made me think of like Memento. Like just it was kind of trippy. Like you didn't really know, who you were talking to, who was in the scene, like who were these people to Anthony Hopkins' character. And yeah, it was trippy and kind of scary sometimes. It was a little scary.
Definitely. And you know what? That's exactly what it probably feels like to have dementia, because it's all of that and more, right? Like,
Yeah.
scary and unsettling, and you're confused, and it's just, again, with us being in the shoes of Anthony Hopkins, of Anthony in this movie, we are put into this scenario where this man is confused and not understanding the differences and the changes around him.
Yeah, and not really knowing when things happen because he's obviously not retaining very much like new memories. He's kind of just like reverting back to some old memories like every day, and yeah, there were quite a bit of changes that happened in his life, and he's kind of just remembering in the later half of his life, and he's just kind of remembering bits and pieces of it like at different times, and it was very trippy, like kind of where and finding out where he starts and kind of where he's ended up, like if you're like and kind of being unsure of where he was the whole time, kind of. And yeah, and I saw Anthony Hopkins and I was like, this is probably gonna be my father, you know, when he's getting to this age, and that
Oh.
kind of terrified me a little bit.
Oh boy.
I
Yeah.
was like, how scary this must be, like to lose
Yeah.
your memory or to not retain any memories or make new memories. Like it's like this was a terrifying movie.
It
I will
was.
say.
It was. It got into the heart of this disease of dementia and just the absolute loss of people and who they are. And I thought because it was from the perspective of somebody going through it, I mean, that was definitely an interesting way to film this movie. Like, there was so many wonderful choices by the director and the production designer to make it feel like this apartment was every environment that he was in, right? So we've got the same kind of trim feeling every time he opens up a door. So this apartment was like the setting for everything, you know,
Yeah, and how it would slightly change is kind of like reality sort of breaking through. Like the front door would change color depending on where he was, because I think at one point maybe it was his original apartment door, and then it changes to Anne's apartment door, and then it eventually changes into the door of the home that he's living at. And you know, seeing things get rearranged and the layout of the house almost look different, or like the layout of the apartment almost look different, and things getting moved around and things going missing, and it's a lot of stuff was happening and changing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't really understand what's going on, and neither does the main character, and you kind of are piecing things together. But I read it was just like, you know, you can piece it together, and there's still going to be holes, and there's still going to be gaps, and that's how it's going to be. You know, I thought
Yeah. Oh.
the what.
I was gonna talk about how like the scenes would kind of repeat themselves, or
Oh
they would say
yeah.
something and then lead up to when they said that. And it just kind of seemed like you were going in circles a lot. Between like things that, you know, Paul told Anthony and Paul, but as someone else told Anthony this, and 'cause you know, he's mixing up faces with his daughter and with the nurses that are helping him in the home, and
And his daughter's
just kind
husband,
of,
Paul, too.
yes.
Yeah, who was like getting, you know, I also love that we got to see a little bit of the reflection on the daughter of and her husband and their relationship getting just like broken down
A bit
by,
complicated, yeah.
yeah, the fact that she wanted to take care of her husband and or sorry her father, and just like him, you know, the husband not being very he lost his patience and eventually starts hitting Anthony Hopkins, and I'm just like I wanted to like cry so much. Like, watching elderly abuse is just like the worst thing ever.
Was horrible,
It was
and then
absolutely horrible.
having that almost like imaginary scene where Anne is like choking her father, like I don't know if she was like dreaming it, like you really unsure of what was happening, and Rufus Sewell, he's such a sweet man, but he always plays a
A bad
mean
guy.
person. A bad guy, and I'll always remember that when we met him at the signing, and he was like, "I always play the bad guy."
And
He's
you were
not a
like,
and he's
we loved you in Pillars of the Earth, and he's like, oh my God, I played a good guy in that. We were like, yes, you did.
Yes, you did. Oh, Rufus, I'll never forget that.
Soft hands when he touched your hand.
Oh my
He
God, right?
grabbed your hand. I love
He
him.
did, he did.
He's really handsome too.
Oh, so handsome. Such a handsome man.
Is it time to talk about the performances in this then, since we're talking about Rufus Sewell?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's talk about Olivia Colman, who was incredible as always. Very believable as this man's daughter. I mean, the way that she would interact with him and their little moments of happiness, but then also just the devastation that she would feel, just like
Yeah.
having to be so patient with her father all the time.
Being patient and I don't know, but sometimes some of the performances annoyed me because I Anthony would ask questions like who am I? Why am I here? Where am I? Like
And
this
no
is
one would
my
answer.
flat. And
Yeah.
no one would answer
I know,
him.
that was
And I'm just
so
like
aggravating.
I'm like, answer his questions. Like he's freaking out. You need to tell him.
I know. Like,
But
it's.
with it happening probably every day, you probably like just I mean you probably just shrug it off. I mean, and you just kind of move on with the day 'cause But
It's
yeah.
scary. It's really like it's scary when people don't answer questions for sure, and it's very aggravating, and that's exactly why they wrote it in there, you know? Like
Yeah,
it's supposed to be like
and
that.
Anthony Hopkins responded like so well. Like it would just he really looked like a confused old man
Oh.
and it was
It
heartbreaking. I
was
was like, "Oh my gosh."
absolutely. I mean, the performance of Anthony Hopkins was, I mean, unreal. It was unreal. It was so real that it was
His watch and
unreal.
the obsession with his watch. I was
I'm
like, Paul,
tearing
stop being
up.
a dick and just tell him where his watch is.
You're
Like,
gonna make me cry. You're gonna make me cry thinking about that scene where he starts crying about his mom at the very end, and I just, I mean, oh shit. I mean, the worst part is that people have to go through this every day with a loved one. And it's just so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the set. This movie's like
Yeah.
just as sad as like Manchester by the Sea. I'm saying that right now. It was so sad.
Exactly. And it really made me have like a deep appreciation for nurses that work in these places. Like, working with these elderly every day and definitely to the family members that have members of their family that have dementia and other memory loss diseases. Like, dude. Like props to you. Sorry that you have to go through that, but
It's like such a terrible hand to be dealt,
yeah.
and it's like the pain is like never ending, you know, until they're gone, and then you
Yeah.
still have to live with that pain, you know, and it's just like
Yeah, like seeing Olivia Williams' character like comfort him and like try to get him through his day. I was like, Kimmy, I could never work in a place like this. This is
Oh.
heartbreaking. Like I could never do this.
I think you have a good sensibility for working with people, actually. Like, I think you would have enough distance emotionally, like, than you think.
Maybe.
Because you do need to have some kind of distance. Like, you have to protect yourself, which it's like really hard to do. Like, it's really,
Yeah.
really difficult to do that, but a lot of people do it, you know, and it's yeah. And but
And
also
but also a lot of
understanding.
people they have to have patience too, and I just feel like I'm losing my patience
I
every
mean,
year I get
you're
older.
taking care of random people's dogs for like a week at a time and you're already getting impatient. You're like, I don't even.
It depends on the dog. Depends
Yeah.
on the dog. But right now, Rocky's he's being very good. He's a very good boy. He's a little
Yes.
needy today, but he's other than that, he's a very independent dog, and I like dogs with independent behaviors.
Yes, that can like do whatever they're doing without a human in the room.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. So Rocky's a very good boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure. There are definitely, I'm surprised by my own patience, but then sometimes I'm like, wow, I blew up way too fast at that. Like I don't
Yeah.
know. It just kind of comes and goes, I guess.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the mood, 'cause I think about that like when I'm gonna have kids and how impatient I'm gonna be with children. You know what? We'll find out.
We'll find out when we get there.
I think it's gonna depend on how much food I've had.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So
anyone else's performances?
Well, I mean, I love Imogen. Olivia. Yeah, we talked about Olivia Colman. She's fantastic. I loved Imogen Poots, having her in this movie, just like as the kind of sweet carer. She was great, and somebody who looks like his daughter who died, that he doesn't remember that his daughter died, and it's just like,
right.
Oh God, another you know, twist of the knife in the heart that he doesn't remember that his other daughter died in a car accident.
Yep.
And it's like, oh God.
And it's just horrible. And it's super interesting. Like, I'm sure it's somewhat the same with other people with dementia and other memory loss diseases, that kind of like the hyper focus on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in Antony's old age, he's, you know, worrying about his watch and worrying about his daughter Laura, or Lucy, and when, you know, she'll come back and visit him, but like not remembering that, you know, just like these hyper focused, like almost obsessive thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like he didn't remember that he like told Laura that he was a dancer. He was like that whole thing where he was like pretending to make her care because he didn't want her to be there, and then he just like put up this whole stick, and it was just like what a great performance. I mean, I read an interview with him, and he said he got like the script and he was like, I have to be in this movie. And I was like, yeah, it's a good script. It's based off a play written by the director and the writer.
Oh, really?
That's what I think it said in the beginning. Yeah, Florian Zeller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he directed it. He wrote it. He wrote the play. So, you know, we've got a couple play-based stuff this year, as we do sometimes, you know. This one definitely felt that way because of the fact that it was kind of in the same set, you know, for pretty much all of it. Which is why it works, but
Oh, funny, with your interview, it says Florian Zeller wanted Anthony Hopkins specifically for the part. He sent Hopkins the script in 2017 and waited for a reply. In the meantime, he did not pursue production with any other actors in the lead role. He said if Hopkins had not agreed to the film, then it likely would have been made in French instead.
Oh, wow. And then it would probably get nominated for Best Foreign Film, but not Best Film, because we have a double standard in America.
Yep, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, well, Parasite did win last year, and that
that's true.
You know, maybe
that's very true.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some movies can win, like Parasite, because that was like the best movie of like the decade. Okay.
Oh, so good.
So, what are the plot keywords here? And I will look into the Oscar nominations.
Okay, plot keywords for The Father are father-daughter relationship, screenplay adapted by author, adaptation directed by original author, dementia, loss of memory. Wow, there are a lot of screenplay adapted, adaptation directed by...
It's funny because it's, like, based off a place, but, like, by the same person who made it. It's like, I guess it's adapted. I guess it's adapted. That's what it is.
It's adapted.
Well,
that's
we've
for sure.
Got best performance by an actor in a leading role for Anthony Hopkins. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role for Olivia Colman. Best adapted screenplay. Best achievement in film editing. Best achievement in production design, and best motion picture of the year.
Damn,
those are some good categories right there. It's excellent. It also got nominated for a bunch of BAFTAs.
All right, let's see. Moving on to the Metascore, it got an 88 Metascore.
A lot of 100s highlighted here on the IMDb. Again, all greens here.
I'm opening up Metacritic. 40 positive reviews and 2 mixed reviews. Are there any mixed reviews on the IMDb page? Doesn't look like it. So I will find one. Scroll all the way down.
People are
Damn!
what?
Someone, one of them gave him a 42 and one of them gave it a 60.
Oh.
Jeez. Why the 42, Vince? Who hurt you? Let's see.
Was too real for Vince. Way too real.
Apparently. Well, and we had, I don't think we've really read snippets from Up Rocks before. I
Yeah,
don't
we
think they're
have.
usually in the, really? Have we?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to read the Up Rocks one because that's the lowest one. Up Rocks gave it a 42. The father is brilliantly structured and executed, but in the end, it's just a cleverly constructed way to depict the mundane. It never finds that level of the fantastic or allows for the kind of magical thinking necessary to escape its dreary reality. Ultimately, it wallows in the pathetic. Who needs this? What do you mean, Vince? Again, who hurt you?
I mean, it's
Did Anthony Hopkins not like sign your paper when you asked for an autograph like 10 years ago? Like, come on, what happened,
Jesus.
Vince?
That's exactly right because his performance really like brings this up. Like I do have to say about that. If they didn't have him, it would not be as good. Like I just it just wouldn't.
Probably.
It's you know, if without Olivia Colman and him, it's like it doesn't have the gravitas, okay?
Who? Who? All right, which one are you looking at?
I'm gonna read the film threat for 100.
Okay.
It says the father is about suffering, the suffering of old age, the importance of connection, the sick encroaching of an affliction, and ultimately death. It doesn't sugarcoat things, despite its sugarcoated exterior. Like its French counterpart, Michael, or it's probably Michelle or something, Hankey's Amour, because it's a French film. It's not easy to watch, but it's necessary. It's a necessary one, a film that examines the very essence of our humanity. People are comparing it a lot to Amour.
Ooh,
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Which I also remember being nominated for Oscars. This was like 5 years ago or something, I think, and it was about the old people. I remember,
Okay.
like, I think one, I could be wrong, but I think it was like one, somebody, a couple, like one person caring for the other who was getting dementia.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what it was about, but I could be wrong because I have not seen it. So.
Do you remember the 1 year for the Oscars we made cookies
Yeah.
and we decorated them like all the Best Picture nominations?
That was like our first time watching the Oscars together. We were like, we should make cookies. And we decorated
Yeah.
every cookie. Like that year was like, it was Up. It was Inglourious Basterds. It was Precious.
Was also like the Hurt Locker or something.
Yep, The Hurt Locker, which I think won. What else was it?
Yeah, I think we did one for like some of the categories, and after they would call the category, we would like eat the
Eat the
cookie.
cookie, yeah.
Yeah, that was
Yep.
fun. Oh, good times, good times. Never forget them,
I
if you
don't.
can. Keep hold on to them for as long as you can.
Oh, God, Emily.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do a Sudoku every day.
Oh man. I will never forget. I'll never forget. Like it was like an article I read, or it was like, something someone told me, but it was like ask your parents and ask your grandparents, and ask your like your older loved ones, like just to recall memories, 'cause it'll help them. It'll help them.
Oh, that's a good
I
idea.
guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm constantly asking my dad about stuff he did when he was younger. Just to force him to recall some stuff back. Keep it for as long as he can.
You're really worried about your dad. He's not that
I'm very
old.
worried about my dad.
Because Anthony Hopkins reminds you so much of your dad.
He really does, dude. Like Anthony Hopkins is my father.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Any lasting thoughts of the father?
I was talking to my hairdresser today about it because she
Okay.
was telling me about her grandfather with dementia. And I was like, I just watched this movie called The Father. I don't think you should watch it. And she's like, I don't think so either. And I was like, I don't think anybody who has a family member with dementia should watch this movie because it is going to be too much. Too much.
Too real.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's what I have to say about that.
That was a great lasting comment.
Thank you.
Last comment, Alessandra. If you enjoyed either of these movies, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com, or you can comment in the comments below. You can do that on SoundCloud or Facebook. Just search All By The Popcorn and like our page. If you want to rate and review our show, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We are also now on Spotify. And if you need notifications on future episodes that we release, you can follow our Twitter, which is at By The Popcorn, and Instagram at All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we also have merch, and we have a YouTube channel. Just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to that.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.